morning. Because I'm actually not going to start off with a scripture reading. Eventually, it ain't going to take that long, but I'm going to end up in Colossians chapter 1. But that's not exactly where I'm starting. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to March. Hey, that's all right. This is better than some snows we've had in March. I remember a few 3-footers, a couple of 2-footers, and I think 1 4-footer. So I can live with this. What I want to start out with is just a flat statement. Jesus Christ is God. Now, I have no doubt of this. I may have some doubt about myself. I may have some doubt about you. I may have some confidence in you. But I have no doubt that Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Yeah. Now, there's one other thing I have no doubt of. The world does not know this. As you know, my introduction, most of you know, was through some people who believe the sovereignty of God. But they had a son who was a preacher who sort of preached pretty much Arminian. And so I was in that, and then I come down to New Zion afterwards, and I was surrounded by Arminianism. Didn't believe it. Didn't know it was Arminianism. I'm one of those people, the first time Earl spoke of Arminianism, I thought, what in the world does Arminia have to do with anything? Because I'd heard of the country. But he did explain. I knew what he was talking about by his context. Free will. And in all these places that I had been in travels and in other places where other people were preaching, because they would go here, we'd have a meeting, I'd go. Because I was wanting to learn about Jesus Christ. Every time, about the end of a sermon, they'd give what's called the invitation. And they still do this all around us. And what they invite people to do is to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or just as your Savior. Now, Jesus Christ is the Savior. There is no doubt of that either. But the reason he is the Savior is because he is God. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has some meaning that a lot of places leave out. There are some who say they don't believe in a God at all. I mostly don't believe them. And there are some who say they believe in a God who is certainly not the God of the Bible. This is everywhere. The scriptures are clear. Beginning in Genesis 1 verse 26, when God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," I believe he was speaking to Jesus Christ. The Father was speaking to the Son. The gospel of Jesus Christ, according to John, starts this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. I believe Jesus Christ is who John was writing about. Because John kept writing. Verse 17, chapter 1 said, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is God. Now, if you believe the Bible, there is no doubt. if you've read the Bible, there's no doubt as to what the Bible is speaking of. It's written in there. But I know the world doesn't believe him. And the reason I know this is because of the way they talk.
Yeah.
It leaks out on them very fast. Most of the preachers you see on television are talking about accepting Jesus as your Savior. But then, it's already going into the news now. You got one fella on one channel talking about how, well, this may be the end of the world. And this is on a news channel, on a cable channel. And it might be, but I kind of doubt it, because if he thinks it is, it's not when anybody thinks it is. That's the way I always felt about, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. He's dead. They used to quote the Bible all the time, supposedly. Oh, heck. Whenever he picked a day, I knew that wasn't the day, Mason.
That's right.
Because of that day and that time shall no man know. It's going to be a surprise. And for a lot of people, it's not going to be a pleasant surprise. But this one fella's talking about all the doom and gloom, and it is. I mean, with the nuclear accident in Japan and with everything happening in the Middle East and Libya and all that mess, there's bad things happening. And guess what? More bad things are going to happen. Some of this stuff may get straightened out. Some of it may not. I don't put up a whole lot of hope for peace in the Middle East. I'm sorry. I just don't think there's going to be a whole lot of peace in the Middle East. There are some things about that in here, but I'm not going into that. Anyhow, and radiation is nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to sneeze at. And I feel bad. And it's a mess. But I don't know that this is actually the end of the world, and neither does he. But then someone on another news channel is talking about this fella on the first channel. Both of these are cable channels. And I need to quit watching television, I know, but it's all right. I got to do something, and Debbie's going to watch the news anyway, so, you know. And he gets on there, and he says that here's this fellow on this other news channel talking about this, and everybody knows that there's no such thing as this hateful, mean God out there anyway. It's a myth. That's the way the world thinks. Even if some of them won't say it, they think it. See, because God is love. So God can't be mean. God can't hate. God can't do this. God can't do that. There's all kinds of things God can't do, according to a lot of people. The only thing I know is what I read in here. It says, our God sits in the heavens. He's done whatsoever he has pleased. And I'm sorry, I do not think an earthquake, a tsunami, and a nuclear accident was beneath his notice. And if he's the first cause of all things, he's the first cause of all things.
Yeah.
Now, as to what's going on and why, I got no idea. All I know is the Lord of the earth shall do right. No matter what I think about it, no matter what I know about it, I trust him.
Yeah,
and I trust Jesus Christ. But then, see, these people don't think Jesus Christ is God.
Right.
I told you a few weeks ago about that wife of one television preacher getting on there and said, you think the devil had it bad when Jesus was around? See, Jesus was just a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, he was full of the Holy Spirit. But I believe it was a little more than that. I believe he's called the King of Glory. And Walter, of his kingdom shall be no end. He was born king. Anyhow. But I do know some of the world refers to him and the Father as myths, mythology. That's wrong. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. These three are one, and these three agree in one.
Amen.
Because the problem that the world has is the world worships a God of its own imagination.
Yeah, that's it.
You thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. And that's what they think. Because that's all they know. And a good sign of the depravity of man is the limits of his imagination. They can't imagine a God different than what they are. And I don't have to imagine him because I can read about him right here.
Yeah.
And by his grace, I can believe him. And like I said, they put limits on God. That's what they do. Like putting a governor on your engine.
Yeah.
They say what God can and cannot do.
Yeah, they do.
And they're not a bit ashamed to tell you. They should be, but they're not. And I'm telling you, they are so wrong. Because they say a God of love cannot hate. Well, one thing, he's not a God of love.
No.
He is love.
He is love.
And God is angry with the wicked every day.
And
if y'all got a problem with that, you have to take it up with him. If they got a problem with it, they got to take it up with him. But they don't have to take it up with him, see, because God understands. Yes, he does. But that don't mean he likes it. They say God cannot do this or God cannot do that because it's wrong. What they say. The one they throw up is that where sent what two she bears out to tear up 42 children. I've heard that thrown up more than once. And I'm thinking, yeah. But how do these people feel about juvenile delinquents on their own block? They would come out and throw rocks at their preacher. And call him names. God does what he wants, when he wants, whenever he wants. Nay, but who are you to reply against God?
Yeah.
They don't know God. The world does not know Jesus Christ. They do not know the Holy Spirit. And they do not know the Father. Just listen to them. And if you know Christ, you'll know they don't speak the truth of God.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Where I want to start here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, this is Jesus Christ, by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Amen.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'm gonna stop there. We, or us, which means not them, have been made meet. Made sufficient by Christ to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That takes the power of God.
Yeah.
That's all. That takes a miracle. It is more than natural. Because as we are born, we are not fit for heaven.
Right. Yep.
Matter of fact, we're fit exactly for the opposite.
Amen. That's right.
We're fit for hell.
Yeah.
The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. He can't. But the Father has made us fit, has made us meet, has made us sufficient in Christ. In Christ he has delivered us and translated us, and we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, because he is God. When he came onto this planet, the wise men were looking for him. Where is he that is born king? He was king even then. And Walter, he's still king. And he always will be king. And as such, he has a kingdom. And the Father translated us into it. A miracle. He's the image of the invisible God. Do you want to know God? Look to Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Look to Christ. You want to see God? Look to Christ. Because no man has seen God at any time. But you can see Christ if he gives you eyes to see. If he gives you eyes to perceive, you want to love God? Look to Christ. Because he is the image of the invisible God. Now, what was Christ doing before he came to the earth? In the form of a servant, he did come. Well, he made a lot of things. Actually made everything. See, this is where I had a discussion one time with a guy I used to work for. There was a fellow who used to come around our place and did some work on some cars, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. No, I'm sorry. I'm telling you falsely. No, he was a Jehovah's Witness. I'm sorry, he was. And see, he had been talking, and he's a very nice guy. I didn't know he was a Jehovah's Witness. It didn't show. But he was a very nice fellow. And he had been talking with my boss about some of this stuff. And then later on, as we were closing up, he started mentioning something of this. And I told him, this is the scripture I went to. Because this is, you know, when you talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, you're talking about people who don't actually believe Jesus Christ is God. They believe in Jehovah.
Yeah.
But you can't believe in Jehovah without Christ. And this is the scripture I went to. Now, I didn't quote it perfectly, but what I told him, I said, wait a minute. I said, it says that Christ, by him all things were created. They're in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whatever. everything, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist.
That's right.
And my boss said, huh. And that was the last we ever talked about it. But see, my boss would talk with religion with just about anybody except me. I don't know why, but it, you know, to be honest, it actually made for a pretty good working relationship. Because I didn't have to make him too mad. Now, where it says Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created. Now, there are some places in Scripture where the word all doesn't mean everything without exception. It means all kinds or all sorts. Or all of us, not all of them.
Yeah.
Paul makes it clear right here what he meant by all things. Because he names them. Jesus Christ created all things in heaven. Jesus Christ created all things in earth. Jesus Christ created all things invisible.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ created all things visible. He created all thrones. He created all dominions. He created all principalities. He created all powers. That's pretty much everything. Because you got the things above the earth. You got the things on earth, and then you got the things that are in the earth. Jesus Christ is the creator.
Yeah.
He is God. And all things were created by him and for him. I don't know why we had to have a reactor accident in Japan. But God does. Exactly. Christ does. All things were created by him and for him. And all things consist by him. And I like that word. Because I looked it up and I wrote it down here. And according to Strong's Concordance, the word translated consist means to place together. To set in the same place, to bring or to band together, to set with one another by a way of presenting or introducing him. Here's the one I really like. By him all things consist is to comprehend. By him all things are together. By Christ all things stand. By Christ, all things present him. And by Christ, all things are comprehended. There's the answer that all the nature shows on television will never get. Because if you leave God out of the equation, you're never going to know what's going on in nature. You never will. Now, you can learn all kind of wonderful things and they can dig up more dinosaur bones than you can shake a stick at. What happened to the dinosaurs? They're dead. They're not here anymore. And you know why? Because God didn't want them here anymore. How they died? I've heard 15 to 20 different theories. Every 5 years they come up with another one because somebody disproved somebody else's. Keep working on it, buddy. It'll do you a lot of good. Now, I don't mind nature shows. I was watching the guy looking at birds the other day, yesterday morning on TV. They're down in Texas looking through the binoculars at a little birding trail. I think it's wonderful. But then when they start getting into how they evolved into this and how they evolved into that, y'all just go ahead and make up more fairy tales. They talk about God and Jesus Christ being a myth. Evolution is a myth.
It's a myth.
It's a fanciful dream. That's what the nature shows are missing. A purpose. The purpose of God as it is in Jesus Christ. And without Him, without the Creator, without Jesus Christ, there is no way to truly comprehend this world. The world doesn't see itself the way a believer sees the world. Now, the believer's in the world. He's not of the world, but he's in the world. But the believer does see the world. And the believer sees the natural man. And the natural man doesn't see the believer. They may see a strange group of people up here that gather together and kind of, you know, Walter, you're borderline on a cult. The believer can see the natural man because the believer remembers being a natural man. I used to be one. And I still got it in me. The flesh is still here. It hasn't gone anywhere. But thankfully, I don't think the way I used to. I think differently than I used to. And that took a miracle. That took the power of God, the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. The believer comprehends these things because the believer has been given the mind of Christ. The world sees, but it doesn't perceive. The world hears, but it doesn't understand. Believers see. And even though it may be through a glass darkly, they do perceive. Believers hear. And believers understand. Because His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that these things are true. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ, God, and shows them to believers. In John 14, he wrote this, the words of Christ, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." And they haven't. "Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The world cannot receive Him. And He doesn't say, unless they exercise their free will. He doesn't say unless somebody gives an invitation. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because they can't see Him. They don't know Him. And they don't want Him. Because the Holy Spirit is light. And men love darkness. Still, to this day. And every time you turn on your television, you'll see it. Men love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
He continued on, John 16 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself." And if you want to, you can throw the Pentecostals right out the window with that one, as far as I'm concerned. The Holy Ghost does not speak of himself. So if somebody's up there talking about the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, he's speaking of himself. He's not speaking of the Holy Ghost of God. He will not speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The only person supposed to be glorified is God. But Jesus Christ is God. So it's okay. Matter of fact, it's needed. It's necessary for the Holy Ghost to reveal things to me. Otherwise, I'm not going to know them. That's not boasting. It's a gift. It's a gift of God, Jesus Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. All this happens because of Jesus Christ, the God of all glory, the King of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords. This is God. And I need to quit. Some days I think back, Walter, about what I sat through. I can't go back there now. I remember, now this is serious, this is when I was, hadn't been converted a year or two, you know. Because I had been taught and told of the sovereignty of God. I had read it in the book of John. And when I read it, I comprehended it. And at that time, Mason, that wasn't really a pleasant thought. That God does what he wants, when he wants, and he'll call who he wants, and he may not call others. But I remember going to different places and hearing different people, and to be honest, I thought preachers said stupid things all the time. Because we're human. And Lord knows I wasn't perfect. I knew I wasn't perfect. So I know I could be wrong about stuff. So why couldn't preachers be wrong about stuff? Well, they can. But they don't need to be wrong about Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus Christ is God.
Right.
He saves, not your free will. And if you know him as Lord, he is your Savior. You don't have to beg him to be your Savior if you know him as Lord. You don't have to come up to a, Walter, you say that hump in the floor. Because see, you know, you had to have a little bit of step there up to the pulpit. Couldn't be down on the same level as other people. And I did. I thought preachers said dumb things all the time. And I was right.
They did.
Exactly. and I can't go back there. By His grace, I will not go back there. Because I believe Jesus Christ is God. I know Jesus Christ is God. I may not know much about me. And even if I'm not one of His, He's still God.
He's still God.
Yeah. Even if you're not one of His, He's still God.
Yeah.
Even if nobody here is one of His, He's still God, and He's worthy of worship and praise and honor and glory and everything we have.
Yeah.
Because anything we do have, He gave to us.
Yeah. That's right.
And I like that. I like that. Didn't used to. It's like something changed. Well, it wasn't Him. I give you a hint. It wasn't Him that changed. It was me. And it was because of Him that I've changed. He put me in a corner. I had nowhere else to go but to Him. And if He didn't put you in a corner where you had nowhere else to go, you don't know Him. Because He'll knock everything down you have. He'll knock down everything you think if He needs to. And then after you become His, actually you were always His, but after you figure out that you are His, He'll knock some more stuff down. And He'll continue it. Until we awaken His likeness. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this place and this time. And most of all, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, who came here and saved His people from their sins. Thank You. Thank You for all. In His name we ask. Amen.